Hi, this is Favi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch, the podcast where we talk about important things like,
you know, the fucking vibes. Hello, hello, hello.
Good show.
How are you doing, Babelito?
I am safe and sound, thanks to the heavens. How are you?
I'm great. Just here having my self-quarantine moment. You know, 2020, it's my year. Okay, everybody. So we are trying to have a healthy balance between our work and our podcasting and this and this and this that we do. And so Latinos Who Lunch, the format has been we come out every other week and, you know, Babelito produces 1 month and I produce the other. So this is Babelito's month. But I called him up yesterday and I said, we should probably go on air this Thursday, even though it's our off week, just because everybody's supposed to be in their damn house. Stay the fuck home, everybody. So this is a special listener letters episode brought to you by the coronavirus.
Ay, el coronavirus. Qué desorden,
and just
man.
Last week, Babelito was like, I don't care if it kills me. Look at you now, buddy.
Yep. I mean, this is the thing. I've been reading about this shit since January, and I've been prepared. So part of me is over it because I've been reading every single day. It became a little bit of an addiction.
Weren't you on an airplane yesterday?
I've been on an airplane this whole entire week. I got a taste
of
what your
really
life
prepared,
is.
Really prepared. Cool.
I got a taste of what your life is in 2 weeks. And let me tell you, I admire you. It's just, it's been insane. But I'll tell you more about that later.
More.
But yes.
Yeah, please say more.
But I am, it got crazy because I got back home. I'll tell you more about it later.
So you're in Vegas right now?
I am in Vegas, but...
So am I. I'm stuck in my grandma's house. Okay, go
ahead.
Oh,
my God. So we were going to be in Chicago, but we kept getting all this misinformation. I don't know that airports were going to close. And we were planning to come in to Vegas at the end of the week. And I said, you know what? I am not going to wait and... I don't want to be stuck here for a month with, you know, just us. And I was like, I want to be with family. And family kept calling, come over here, stay with us, come here. And it got a little too overwhelming. So luckily, airline tickets are stupidly cheap. So we got a plane ticket. And 3 hours later, we were flying. So here we are.
Where are you staying?
I'm staying in my sister's house. So I basically just go from my sister's to my mom's. We don't do anything else. We
don't
go anywhere else.
Make sure you stay 7 feet away from them.
Ay, 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 ay.
Since you're the one most, probably most, susceptible to having it since you've been in airport so much.
I don't want to give. Careful. I don't want to give anybody misinformation, but I got a text from a physician about... Uh-huh. Como que te hagas un examen tú mismo, you know?
Oh, no, come on. Give us some WhatsApp tips right now, please.
No, bitch, this was not by a Mexican.
Please don't give out misinformation right now.
It's not misinformation. It makes sense. It says that you're con el corona. Se te llenan los pulmones de fibrosis. So if you cannot hold your breath for 10 seconds, then guess what, Mimi? You got to be worried. So you best believe that I'm fucking holding my breath every 10 minutes.
Just checking if I can breathe. So you're spreading misinformation, Babs. That's, if you're a younger person, you can do that no problem and you can still have it. So that,
no, right. And that's the whole
thing. The test results are in and this determines that was a lie. I'm sorry.
And that's the whole thing that like it affects people differently, different levels, different ways.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm drinking.
I know that there's a lot of lies being spread about how to protect yourself, how to get rid of this, how to get rid of that. Well, I have a message that my mom sent me yesterday, and I just want to play it for everybody because I think everybody should be informed.
Down.
Mira, hay que tener limón con sal y hacerse gárgaras de agua tibia con sal uno a cuanta vez pueda, porque dicen que eso mata cualquier ese virus que se va para tu garganta.
So you heard it here first from my mom. Make sure you get some hot water and te haces gárgaras con limón y sal because it kills the virus. Okay, everybody?
Yeah. Scientists in the World Health Organization are going like,
no.
Fuck.
I mean, we're not here to talk about this because y'all go on the CDC's website. That's what you need to see. Stay away from people. Don't touch your face. Wash your hands.
That's
period.
It.
That's it. Okay. Don't be holding your breath and drinking limon. Okay. That shit ain't gonna do nothing for you. Oh my God, I can't believe it.
Petróleo. Mi papá dice que cuando le daba tos le daban petróleo.
Oh my God. No, but this shit is serious, dude. Like, yesterday, the governor of Nevada just announced that Las Vegas is basically shut down for an entire month. So all the casinos are closing. Everybody's laid off. It's pretty scary when it comes to, like, I don't know. I'm just thinking about my mom. Like, how's she going to pay her mortgage, you know?
Right.
Because these big old corporations ain't shit. They don't give a fuck. They don't care about the little, you know, the people working in the casinos.
And I know this shit is real. I know it's not anything to play with. But there's a part of me that, and again, I have not logged in to look into conspiracy theories, but I'm not that I'm making my own, but there's certain things that no cuadran, man. No cuadran. And it just seems like the perfect moment for shit to happen. All of a sudden, the one, like, fucking Trump, it's a hero, wants to give money to people right before the elections. Again, I'm not saying that this was made up or anything because it's real, it's affecting, it's killing people. But it's like the way that everything is evolving, it's too motherfucking suspicious to me. And it's just like, makes me first be super mega informed and read about everything and also just completely disconnect. Because it's just like the patterns of the way that this whole thing has been developing. Because again, I've been reading about it since January. It's, I don't know, man. I don't know. There's just a lot of, I have a lot of questions. But this is not the episode to get too political and to get into that. But I wanted to mention that because I want everybody to be aware. I want it to be safe. I want it to be healthy. I want it to be people to, you know, love each other because this is an important time for that. But at the same time, stay woke, man. Like, stay woke and question things because a lot of this shit is not making any sense to me. But anyway.
The views expressed by Babalito are not of Fabi Fab or Latinas Who Lunch. Thank you.
Yeah.
Because whenever you say something out of pocket, it's always like, Latinos Who Lunch said this. I'm like, no, I didn't say that. So don't fucking come at me talking about Latinos Who Lunch has conspiracy theories, okay?
I didn't say anything. I'm just saying, question.
You didn't say it, but you implied it over there holding your breath.
Be safe. Okay.
So let's take a little break and get into these listener letters.
Let's do it.
All right, Babalito, it's that time. We're going to thank all of our new Patreon familia. And shout out to everybody that's been listening to our bonus episodes and commenting. On the last bonus episode I released, I did know that my grandma's fire alarm was beeping in the background. Somebody, a listener, was like, hey, I just want you to know that one of my best friends is a firefighter and it's really dangerous not to have your batteries updated. I'm like, okay, oh, calm down. I actually changed them right after we recorded because I could hear it in the recording.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, that being said, yo, there's a lot of perks to being part of our Latinos Who Lunch family. I mean, Babalito's gonna put out a bonus episode this month, and then we have our regular episodes, and then we even have perks on top of that. So let's start giving some shout outs, right, Babs?
Right, let's do it. So first we're gonna give a shout out to our comadre level. And first, we have Alonso R. Thank you so much. Shout out to you, comadre.
Shout out to Gris MR. Thank you, comadre.
Josue R. Muchísimas gracias, comadre. Shout out to you.
Thomas E. Thank you.
And last but not least, we have one madrina this month, and that's Natalia O. Shout out to you, girl. Welcome to the family.
So there's different levels. For $1, you can be on our amiga level. For $3, you can be on our comadre level. And if you, oh my gosh, I can't breathe right now. Hold on 1 second. Let me hold my breath for 10 seconds and see if I'm okay. And if you want to get to our madrina level, that's $10 a month. So you can go on patreon.com/latinoswholunch and you can see the differences between the categories, because I had to turn off my internet right now so I can't check what that is. And yeah, or you can go to latinoswholunch.com/donate. Donate there on PayPal, or again, become part of our Patreon fam.
Yes, thank you everybody for all your support.
And we're back. Okay, so I want to get through as many listener letters as possible today, because girl, we've had most of the ones we're reading today are from like 2018 still. And so I've been working my way through the inbox, correcting everybody's grammar, unfortunately, because y'all don't know how to write. And so let me just say this, okay? Like, yes, Babelito is a doctor, PhD in art history, okay?
He knows what he's talking about.
Huh?
You better stop right there, whatever you're going to say.
No, I'm just saying, Babelito is an expert at whatever he's an expert at, right? And so, yes, I have a lot of life experience, so I may be an expert in certain things here, but we are not an expert on identity and race, and most of these questions are really, really heavy.
Yes.
So just so you know, this is just our opinions, and these are not facts, most of them. And so I see this a lot in different podcasts. Like, for example, the podcast Yo, Is This Racist? I love that show. But what I see happening is these people rely on them.
Yeah, make them
the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then rely on them like for confirmation about stuff. And that's, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't rely on one single source for your information, because that, you know, that leads to a pandemic. So don't do that. So anyway, and I also like to say, please keep your emails short. If they're shorter, it's so much easier for us to read them on this podcast, maybe one or two paragraphs. I understand a lot of you guys want your stories to be heard, but remember, there's a lot of people sending us emails. And also, you can send us like fun questions for us to have fun reading them. I understand. I mean, you're going to see a lot of these questions that kind of have the same kind of theme. And it was a little bit difficult to kind of go through everything last night when I was editing all this together. Okay. Anyway, Babelito, do you want to go first or do you want me to read the first one?
I think you should go first.
Okay. First letter is from Sydney. How do I educate myself so I can explore my Latinx identity through art?
Wow. Here we go.
Okay. A little light listener letter here. Dear Fabi Fab and Babelito, I just finished listening to the teaser episode for the Art People podcast, and I felt compelled to write in for the first time because your words were so in line with the question I'm facing right now that I can only assume it was divine intervention.
Sus.
If you can, I would really love and value your input. Recently, I have been trying to establish my Latina identity in a more meaningful way, in part because of all the messages from prominent Latinos, both far away, you two, and in my community, encouraging me to learn my history and be proud of who I am and my roots. I have had the overwhelming urge to start making art as a way to explore and express that process. I am drawn to a lot of reoccurring themes and symbolic objects in Latinx and Chicano art, La Virgen, Nopalitos, Morena figures. But as a fourth generation mixed white Latina who essentially grew up assimilating and detached from family who is also assimilated, I don't want to simply rely on, or worse, appropriate those themes and imagery without understanding the full meaning and context behind them. I also want to acknowledge and respect when certain types of imagery are simply not mine to use, especially because I am white. For example, I was not raised Catholic and do not yet have any personal connections with Catholic imagery or La Virgen, but I don't know how to find that distinction all by myself, and I don't have many other Latino people I feel comfortable asking, including my family, or even know how to ask something like that. I want to learn and grow as a person and artist, but I don't want it to feel like I'm just taking things that aren't mine when I know they are very precious to a lot of people. With that in mind, do you have any suggestions on works I could read or people I could talk to that might help me understand these artistic themes and images I'm so drawn to, and also start to figure out my place in all of this and how to move forward? I would be so grateful for any thoughts or advice you might have. Besos y mil gracias. Well, you didn't have to tell us you were a white girl. We could tell by this email. Thank you for that.
But you know what? We fucking did that. We keep spreading the same ass motherfucking icons all over those fucking, like, markets and internet and Etsy's and shit. So the rest of the world thinks we are fucking limited to three motherfucking icons. So, like, I don't blame this person for thinking that the identity is tied only to, like, three fucking different things, you know? So, like, we fucking did that. With that in mind.
Who's we?
The Latino community.
Oh, okay.
So, with that in mind, ay, cabrón. Es como si yo quisiera start finding out my... I don't know, man. I don't know what to say. It's so... I don't know. There's like...
This reminds me of when, like, I've actually had white women come up to me and ask me, like, well, I'm white. I'm like, you know, my dad is Scottish and... my mom is British and French or something, you know? And so my family's been in the United States for generations. I don't have, you know, I don't have a history or traditions. So what are my traditions? Why can't I celebrate your traditions? And I'm like, oh my God, like what the fuck do I tell these people? And I'm like, and I always go, well, there's a, and this is what I tell these people. I was like, well, there's a difference between appropriation and celebration. So, you know, taking these traditions and making them yours is wrong, but celebrating with others is okay, right? So it's this thing that's tough for a lot of people. And also what's tough for a lot of, I think, Mexican Americans who are super assimilated, have generations of people that are assimilated in their families. They want that, they quieren convivir, you know, they want to be part of the movement, but they're not. And I felt like that for a lot of things, you know, like I have to check myself a lot, because what happens is this is a symptom or an agent or whatever of white supremacy. Like they want Latinos to feel othered within their own community so that more Latinos are lined up with white supremacist ideals. So, honestly, this is what it is. Yeah. And as an artist, I assume you're an artist by this email, that's something you should look into. Maybe look into why you don't feel Latina enough. Maybe that can be what your art is about. It doesn't have to be about what every other fucking Latinx artist is doing. I've said it on this podcast once before. We get it. We love nopales. We love conchas. We love Frida. Okay? Águila del sol, sangre de la tierra, whatever fucking Aztec warrior bullshit you have tattooed on your chest. We get it. Okay? Like, great, there's people that are really connected to that, but there's also Latinos like me who were born and raised in the United States and who love Taco Bell and love Jennifer Lopez and are torn about that And that's what my art, if you look at my art, that's what my art is about, because that is what I know. And I'm trying to stay in my lane and show that Latinidad is a spectrum, from people that are first generation, from people that are immigrants, people that are undocumented, to people like you, Sydney, whose families have been here for generations and had to assimilate because they didn't want to be murdered. They wanted to pass as white. Hey, maybe look into that history. You know what I mean?
Right.
So don't be over here playing like, oh my God, woe is me. Like, I can't believe I can't laugh at the India Maria the same way you brown people can. There's so much more. There's so much more to our history than painting Morenita figures. Girl, please. Why did you even put that in there?
And
I don't like scolding our listeners, but sometimes se pasan ustedes. It's like just think of it. I don't know. Just think of the world in a broader terms. And again, like Babelito says, this is not your fault. This is everybody's fault. Because
right.
Look at Latino media. It's perpetuating the same. I haven't seen Gentified yet. But and everybody keeps telling me to watch it, and I will. But I can already imagine the tropes in that show that are just going to be reinforced, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes I look at people that express Latinidad in their own way and celebrate that. And that's what I love. When I do lectures, I love to talk about Taco Bell for like 10, 15 minutes just to piss all the Mexicans off in the room that are like, you know, that you know, go for the Raiders, you know? So it's like, you can't, and I know that's a joke, everybody. I know that not all Mexicanos go for the Raiders. Calm the fuck down. Okay, shout out to Angela Johnson and her appropriating ass. So I'm just saying, Latinidad is a spectrum. Celebrate who you are. Even if you're fucking white Latina, recognize that privilege and don't appropriate cool Latinx culture to make a point. Don't appropriate Bad Bunny songs and make them part of the titles to an article, because that is also dangerous,
oh, wow.
Okay?
You know, at the core of all of this is our fucked up ideals of authenticity, because it comes down to that. And authenticity is a problem of the fucking modern Western world. This idea of colonizing, and in order to authenticate your experience with the quote-unquote other, which I hate to use that word, you have to have that person or that object or that food perform your fantasies of what that's supposed to be. And if it doesn't, it discombobulates you, and it doesn't satisfy you, right? So like, if you eat a taco and it tastes more like Taco Bell than fucking Tacos El Gordo, I don't know, then you're not having an authentic experience. But it's not, authenticity doesn't fucking exist. The same thing with identity, the same thing with fucking Latinx art. There's no such thing. Just because some of these things are more visible doesn't mean that that's the end of it or that's the authentic thing. There's no authenticity when it comes to none of those things. So that is one of the biggest problems that we all have, because when we're trying to come up with who we are and we're trying to make sense of that, we have an idea of how those things look and how they function. But at the root of all of that is fucking colonization. It's fucking authenticity. There's no such thing as that. And the second one is that where is this coming from? What all of a sudden you want to connect? We have to ask ourselves those questions, because many times it's about trends. And there's a trend of Latinidad that it's maybe wasn't here 10, 15 years ago. And now it's more visible because of our fucking president. But so question that. And again, what Fabi's saying, maybe not identifying with these tropes and icons and ideas, but the process of identification and misidentification with those tropes and icons will make an amazing, amazing body of work, as opposed to like, I gotta fit in. It's like those fucking commercials. And we talked about this before, about your DNA. You're just because it's within you that you have DNA from other parts of the world doesn't mean that you have to fucking perform what you think that culture performs like, you know? Like, it doesn't fucking work like that. And, you know, like, when you have white privilege, I guess you can do that more than others, you know? Because for other peoples, the color of their skin carries them, and they don't have the privilege to be fucking going back and forth to different races and cultures. But think about the processes, as Fabi says. Think about how this happens, why you're thinking about these things now, and why you're limited to only understand Latinx and Chicano culture through this couple of icons. That will make it more interesting process, not only for your work, but also for the conversations that you're going to have with other white-ass people that don't feel fit into this heavily, heavily colonized world. That's it.
All right. You want to read the next one? Thank you. Thank you, Sydney. And just know that you are enough. You are Latina enough. You don't need to prove it to anybody. Okay, girl?
True.
That's it. Wepa, wepa. Okay, go ahead.
This is an email. This is an email from Grecia.
Have you had your coffee yet?
I'm having my second cup right now.
Okay, girl. Chug a lug.
Por eso se me lengua la traba, güey, porque estoy hablando muy fast. Okay, here we go. Academic code switching. I am an old listener, maybe like late since 2016, kind of listener. And I'm barely writing. Recently, I've been tweeting you all some of my reactions when I listen, but I'm finally writing to you two of my great friends who I haven't met. My favorite thing about your podcast is the bridging of academia and art to the world. I wish I had a Favi in my life. And I do, but not like the process you all have with Latinos Who Launch. Babelito, hearing you talk about your trajectory thus far has been so inspiring. And when I listen to you both, I love noticing the honesty. Like Favi, being so aware of race as black and non-black dialectic is so refreshing to hear from a Latino, or Babelito being so critical of Mexico as the nation state and rejecting romantic ideas Chicanos have adopted about Mexico is also extremely refreshing. Los amo. My question is coming, I promise. Okay, let's do this. I'm starting a podcast, and my committee chair is guiding me through it and in many ways part of it. I'm lucky to have this sort of advisor, but I'm struggling owning this podcast as something I'm part of. He says that maybe I haven't committed to involve myself in it. I wonder if you ever experienced this. The podcast is directly about my research interests, but a different setting, field, site. I'm struggling to be a Grecia that is semi-academic on the mic. I mean, if I'm drinking with my friends, I can be semi-academic, me. But fuck, dude. Alcoholism is real, como dice Favi. Shoutouts to alcoholism. I know this is a lot of self-doubt, and there's a lot of blogs about how to approach it, but I want to know. ¿A cuál santo le rezan ustedes? Pero yo también ponerme a rezar. Ja, 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 ja. Ya tengo tiempo en estos jales, oficios, y sigo siendo un little bitch miedosa. But for real, who are you praying to? And how can I become a hard worker like you all? Abrazos, Grecia.
Damn. So what was the question?
I have no clue. I think, ¿a qué santo le rezamos? Yo le rezo a Santa Eli Guerra. I don't know who you pray to.
Well, I don't pray, so, I think what you're saying is how do you express your academic self slash your authentic self, whatever the fuck that means,
right?
Which, that's not a real thing either, because, if we were all authentic, like 100%, it would be the fucking purge. Like, we would all just be dead. Okay.
There is actually a term in psychoanalysis. It's called the dead principle, that if you truly knew who you truly are, because we're all fucking animals that want to kill each other and fuck each other. If you truly knew that and understood that, you could not take it and you will fucking kill yourself. Like,
yeah,
it's a thing.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, but for real, who are you praying to? God, okay, those. I'm going to focus on the questions at the bottom of the email. Who are you praying to? You know, honestly, maybe this is like too real, but I've been so, I was so ingrained with Jesus in my life that I still say like, oh, thank God, you know, like without even thinking. So in the very, very back of my mind, I still think I'm praying to God and Jesus.
Right.
Because that's just like my, what I've been programmed to do. And then, so that answers that. And then how can I become a hard worker like y'all? This is how you become a hard worker like Fabi Fav. You don't take your mental health into account. You don't take your personal life into account. You destroy personal relationships and put your work first. You do projects that you don't want to do for way too long just to make other people feel okay. What else do you do? You ignore the pain that you have in your body because you believe that you're only worth the amount of labor that you can do and perform labor for people because that's what you've been taught your entire life. And you're dealing with that right now because you realize that you're slowly killing yourself for white people and think that you're actually doing something good for the Latinx community when actually you're part of the problem. So that's how you work as hard as Fabi Fav. You're in your fucking grandma's house by yourself. You can't even have anybody over because of the fucking virus. But before that, the virus was my tia who lives next door, who anytime there's a car in the driveway, she would come over to see who it was. That's how you become a hard worker like Fabi Fav. You say yes to everything and you do a half-ass job at everything for 2 years and you hope that it will all end soon. And sometimes you wish that you had a corporate job where you did the same thing every day so that you could just go home and watch TV like a regular person. Okay? That's how you do it, Grecia. Next question.
How? I have nothing to say. But yes, alcoholism, it's fucking real. And it's a hard question, but comment because I've been talking about this like the whole entire length of the podcast, you know? That's why, and we talked about this, that's why I'm the one who suggested we gotta have different names because I'm never gonna get a fucking job. And I am at the cusp of getting the job of my dreams that actually it could be an institution that not only supports my academic self, but also my non-academic shenanigans. And to be able to get to this place, me costó un huevo. Y como Latino, sometimes, y como POC, sometimes we have to work twice as hard to get to that place where we're respected for both, for our quote-unquote serious shit and for our quote-unquote non-serious shit. So it's going to be a lot of pain and a lot of struggle, but you have to be yourself either way. You have to be yourself. Do not tell people that you're not too academic or that you're not serious. Otherwise, you're going to lose everything that you're looking for. Recently, I was asked by one of my advisors. She said, are you ready to answer the questions in this job interviews about your podcast? And I said, I am not going to mention it unless they ask. And she said, you already lost the job. So you got to be prepared to bridge those two, I mean, for lack of a better word, identities into your work and be proud of it. And that's going to take time. And yes, that's going to take a lot of work. And to rephrase everything that Jazz Fabi said, it's going to take a lot of fucking sacrifices. So it is your battles and you need to know what is good and healthy for you, what is not. And once you choose your battles with time, I promise you there's going to be some rewards. In what shape or form? Is it monetary? Is it support? I don't know. I don't know exactly what you're doing, so I couldn't tell. But if you, in a way, create some sort of balance between all of these ideas and you stay true to yourself, and I know it sounds, I don't know, como cliche, pero es la neta, güey. Y a mí me costó un huevo be able to say, this is who I am, unapologetically.
What does that mean, me costó un huevo?
Like, me costó mucho trabajo.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I don't know these northern Mexican sayings.
Porque duele, güey. Porque duele. So it is a cliche, but it's true. And again,
is that like a reference to your balls?
Yes, me costó un huevo. Like, me como que me quitaron un huevo, güey.
Oh, my God. How violent. Oh, Jesus. Okay.
So it's a lot of work. It is a lot of work, and you have to choose your battles. But seriously, like, ya casi tengo 40 años, and it is just now in the past couple years. And part of that was through the podcast that I was able to say, fuck it. And if that didn't give me the job that I wanted yesterday, it will give me a job maybe tomorrow. So that's it. That's it. So good luck, Grecia. We hope the best for your new podcast. Let us know what it is so we can listen to it.
And I don't want anybody to misunderstand my statement. My statement was, do what you're doing. Don't compare yourselves to others. Like, everybody sees my success and is like, yeah, you're killing it, la, la, la. It's not fun, guys. It's not.
It's a lot of work. Yeah.
It's a lot of work. Last week, I think I slept 2 hours every night. Like, it's not fun. And I wish I did this a healthier way. This is for real. So if you can't manage a art practice or an academic practice and a podcast and this and this and this, don't do it all, because you can't. Because that's why we had to cut Latinos Who Lunch in half, because I couldn't do everything anymore. And I just had to get real with myself. And so if you see people struggling and you see that they're doing too much, you know, help them. Let them know, like, hey, you don't have to do that. And it's because it's reinforced to me every day when people are like, God, you're doing so well. You're killing yourself. You're like, and they literally say the word, like, you're killing it, bro. Like, no, I'm not killing it. I'm killing myself. And people keep congratulating me for it. So I keep doing it. And I've kindly come to the realization, you know, this whole quarantine thing is like, everybody's freaking out because they have to be inside for 2 weeks. And like, for me, I'm like, that's every month for me. I'm locked in a museum for 2 weeks. Gluing tissue paper to a wall. Like, to me, this is like, it was already in my fucking schedule. So it's like, how you guys are feeling now, trapped in your house, that's how I feel every fucking day. And I'm not saying it for you to feel sympathy for me or I'm just telling you, like, it's not all it's cracked up to be. Like, I'm very fortunate to have the opportunities I have. And I'm just telling you, it just takes a lot of work. And if I hear another fucking person tell me I'm lucky to be doing this, I'm going to fucking choke them, like, on the spot. Because I'm not fucking lucky. I worked really hard to be put in the positions to get these opportunities.
Okay. Andes, cabrones.
Next question by Giovanni. Bavelito plagiarizing?
¿Qué?
So did Bavelito subconsciously take La Bonita jingle and use it as the transition commercial music for LWL? Pretty similar. So here in Vegas, there is a carniceria called La Bonita. Carniceria La Bonita. That's the song I remember. But Babelito, I think I found the clip online last night.
I memorized the song because it's been in my head since I read this email.
Here, let me play the little jingle that I found.
Okay.
Vamos a la bonita, todos a comprar todo. Mi raza bonita, wow.
Very similar. What do you think, Babs?
I wish I was that badass and I would have actually plagiarized La Bonita. Instead, as I mentioned, like, I think some of the, I don't know, like years ago, it actually came from a trip I took in France. And every
come
time
on,
a train.
France?
And every time a train will come, it will be like the little jingle, like, psh, and that shh is the sound of the train arriving. It's so stupid.
Wow.
Yes, it's so stupid. But it's the difference between and psh. You hear that? I feel like fucking Vanilla Ice right now. when he's justifying the, ¿cómo era la canción?
Yeah, I got the reference.
Yes.
That was really good. Under Pressure.
Under Pressure, correct, yeah. By Queen. Yes, so...
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you, but no, thank you. It's not... maybe I should start saying that so I don't sound like a bougie-ass motherfucker.
I like this better. Oh, it's like the sound of waiting for the train in France, darling. Come on, commercial break. Yes. You didn't know it.
Yes, so now you know it. Sorry to disappoint you. If it makes you feel any better, it was a free trip from work because I worked my ass off and I became one of the best salesperson in that company. And that company made all that shit in France and I got to go for free. So
not to brag.
That's where it's come from. Yes.
Yo, that's funny. See, because the only La Bonita song that I remember is the one that goes...
La bonita. Yes.
Ding, 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 ding. Ding, ding. Remember?
Ding, yes, ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding. That's the one that I know. Anyway, for all your coronavirus food needs, go to Carniceria La Bonita, now known as La Bonita Market in Las Vegas.
Yeah. Okay, the next email is from Evie. The title is Queer Mentorship. Currently, I'm throwing myself at a couple of initiatives at USC. If you remember, there was one of the schools rocked the most by Aunt Becky and other rich white celebrities bribing to get their kids into the school. And I'm trying to serve as someone who is a queer Latinx mentor to undergrads, while also creating inroads for a more diverse and equitable student body. I would appreciate if you two could talk about that a bit more and the ways you mentor other queer Latinx people. And help them get into spaces like art and academia, which I still experience as being very white and sometimes conservative / fake woke. Un fuerte abrazo, Eddie. So, Eddie.
Eddie, well, you could be my mentor any day, Eddie. Just send me an email and I'll be one of your followers. This is something that I've actually been thinking of lately because I'm getting older and it's weird. Like, I made a lot of friends in my travels through the podcast, through my art. And I just think of these young, like 20-something queer kids as like being my friends. But what I'm realizing now is that they're seeking a mentor. So like I accidentally do have mentees that I always just like check up on. And I didn't realize that I was like kind of their like mother goose figure,
yeah.
You know, which is kind of nice. I don't do it on purpose. I think that's just like a natural thing that happens when you're like open to it. But and that's kind of like what's happened to me is just like there's opportunities to have open conversations and go have meals with my friends when I'm in different cities. And that's just kind of like what it becomes. But I know that for you, Babalito, it's a little different because like you're at an academic level where students already kind of see you as an advisor. Yeah. So what is your advice for this?
So I've had everything in my classrooms and I think many times and what's been my case and what I've noticed is not to necessarily single out my students based on their identity. Sometimes that's necessary when it comes to the context of my classrooms and what I teach. The historical context speaks for itself. So I do not necessarily have to come out every time I teach a new class, but there's many aspects of the way I teach that it's obvious that I'm queered. To what degree and what level, my students don't necessarily need to know, right? I feel like when you do that in the classroom and when you, like, I'm very specific about talking about some of these things through certain themes. So I'm not going to push ideas about queerness on every single subject because it will be forcing it. And I know a lot of my friend academics do that. And in a way, it seems inauthentic to the material and to your audience. I'm different. So I find the opportunities to talk about those things. And that is a clear message to my students that the space is safe, including my office. And I have not openly said I am, could be your advisor. I can be a mentor when it comes to identity because I don't do that. But they just come because they feel comfortable enough. I've had a lot of queer students that feel very comfortable telling me about what's going on with them and what happens. I've had students that got through like important transitions in their lives, leaving the classroom, coming back into the classroom, and just treating them like fucking any other student is many times enough for them. It's never been explicit like I am and having a lot of problems fitting in or this or that. I don't know. I haven't had that yet. But there's plenty of people that can give you more advice when it comes to that. If you want to specifically create, I don't know, a center in school or something more specific guided towards that. Refer to our episode with Anita Revilla. Anita Revilla is an incredible mentor when it comes to kids that are struggling with all kinds of things, dealing with the problems in the queer Latinx community. And she does a hell of a job, not only in the classroom, but outside of the classroom. So I think she will be a better authority. And for me, it's just that. It's putting everybody in even field, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, and just feeling sometimes not single out for many students is, I'm not going to say it's enough, but it's just comfortable enough that for at least an hour and 15 minutes, they don't have to think about that shit. You know what I mean? So that's what I do.
Yeah, I think just becoming that queer person that they can see, you know, moving through academic and institutional spaces, it gives them the hope that they can do it too. So yeah, I mean, we have this platform to talk about it. Whenever anybody gives me a microphone, I express myself openly, and I can see the queerdos in the audience like light right up, you know? And mm-hmm. So it's moments like those that are really important. But, you know, you're at USC. Well, right now you're online, but maybe create a forum online. But just, you know, posting about queer things that are happening that you're going to, just so they know that coming to you is safe. You know, you're a person that is creating a safe space, not only physically at USC, but also like online for people to express themselves. And so you can do that through social media, which is really important for a lot of youngins. Also, just by like hosting events. I've been to many queer events. Actually, I just went to a queer event in I think it's called Third Space in Fort Worth, Texas. They had a brunch. So like people are doing brunches or just like doing get-togethers. And it doesn't have to be exclusively queer, but just if you want to give people the opportunity to gather and meet other people, maybe do that. Maybe sponsor an event if you're not into actually hosting it. Things like that.
Yeah, and it's important to have the whole spectrum because when I was coming on, when I was growing up, con todos los pedos of our communities, and it was hard for me. I felt more alienated in queer spaces because there was a lot of
that part.
There was a lot of things about being queer that I just didn't understand and comprehend, and I didn't feel identified. So I felt alienated, and that was making me. That was making me push myself against that part of my identity. It wasn't until much later that I learned to appreciate it and understand it and see, you know, like all the struggles and work that a lot of queer activists have done for my privilege. But it took a long time because specifically because of those spaces. So for me, it's very, very, very important, at least in the classroom and in my office, to have an all-inclusive place, you know, where like I am not singling anybody out, you know, and I can speak to you through my expertise as opposed to other things, you know, and that's what's worked for me, you know, but there's got to be a room and place for every single space, every single level, every single form of identity, and we should, and a lot of people have worked really hard to be able to do that. So finding out exactly what you want to do, and in a university like USC, you have plenty of resources. But I don't know if I am pushing it, but I really do think that maybe, I don't know, like reaching out to Anita, because Anita, to me, like, I admire her so much because of the way that she was able to create community within a place like Vegas and UNLV, which sometimes is a little bit harder, you know? But at the end of the day, it's an academic space and it's supposed to be open. Supposed, you know, with capital letters, because academia is a fucking mess.
Yeah, and again, that's Anita Revilla. She goes as Mujer Fiera. So look her up online, whatever she's supporting, you know, ask her for advice. I think she is an incredible human, and I want to have her on the show to talk about other stuff soon. So I had a trip to LA scheduled, but coronavirus. Okay. Next.
Coronavirus.
Adriana says, thank you, Eddie. Thank you. Okay, Adriana. About an almost perfectly cast Netflix show. Okay, oh my God. Have you guys seen Sense8? It's a show on Netflix. The show talks about many subjects like politics, identity, sexuality, gender, and religion. It's a little weird at first, but I believe you guys would love it because it was cast amazingly. Let me tell you about the characters. And then this listener goes on for a long time. I cut that shit out. Okay, we get it. Maybe you work for Netflix. Thank you for this email. Okay, this show is sci-fi. Okay, now I'm going to the end of the email. This show is sci-fi, but I think you guys will enjoy it. It was praised for its representation of LGBTQ characters and themes, winning a GLAAD award. Also, there are some scenes where they all have sex, and she wrote orgy in parentheses. Thank you for that. It is so beautifully shot, not vulgar. It made me want to have a cluster of Sense8 people just so I can do that. JK, no, but you're not. You're not joking. Okay, anyway, hope you guys give this show a chance. Love you guys. It's my first time taking the time to write an email to the podcast or anything else. So it goes to show how special you guys are. Oh my God, thank you. Take care. With much love, Adriana. Okay, I've never seen the show, Babs, but you have. Tell me about it.
I was so into the first season, and I was into the fact that there were Mexican characters that were there because of so many other things besides being Mexican. That was refreshing. It's about a show of, you know, it's been a while, so I don't remember a lot, but it's about a show of different people around the world and how they're interconnected somehow, and they can exchange their talents. So somebody has a talent for letters, another person has a talent for martial arts. So if you find yourself in a bad situation, you can access that talent from somebody in Africa or somebody in Asia or somebody in Europe. So it's really cool because, again, it bridges a lot of things that other shows cannot. When it comes to the LGBTQ representation, yes, it's refreshing and it's different than other shows, but I only watched the first season because it got, I don't know, it's very hard for me to follow up on a second season of a show. That rarely happens. It is the same old representation of, like, perfect bodies, and so it's not revolutionary whatsoever at all. It's super, super sexy. But, you know, like, if I want to just watch that with not anything in the background, I'll just watch fucking porn, you know? But they have a Mexican art historian, a queer Mexican art historian. So that was really interesting. And when I saw it like 4 years ago, I was like, oh shit, okay, this is different. This is unique. But I think what I value most about this show is like the opening episode. I think the trans character was talking about being trans and queer through Santo Tomás de Aquino's words. And that was amazing. That was weird and strange and amazing. So there's a lot of bright moments. There's a lot of fucking cliche moments. There's a lot of problematic moments. And overall, the whole entire setting of, you know, just being able to access different people around the world, you know, like that was interesting and cool to me. But those, I don't know, the older I get, there's those tropes and problems and same old cliches get really tiring for me really fast. So I couldn't go into the second season. But I mean, I've talked to people that follow it because I was, you know, I really liked it the first season. And some people love the second season and some people just fucking hate it like everything else. Is it a perfectly cast show? Mm-mm, it's not. There's a lot of cliches, I think.
Where the fat continue, people at, cuz? But it is...
Huh?
Where the fat people at, cuz?
There were no fat people.
Mm-mm. Fat was people it, don't have you, superpowers. Sorry.
They don't super. Apparently, they don't have super powers. They don't. They're not allowed to have these types of sexualities. You know. So like, so no, it's not perfect. It's far from perfectly cast Netflix show. But if you ask me about every other Netflix show out there, I'm gonna tell you the same thing because I hate everything. So I may not be the best person to ask, but it is. It's a good attempt. It is really a good attempt.
So I'm watching Sex Education right now, which is actually really good. And for a British show, I guess it does do well. Like, it's like a show set in high school. And so, but it's like the 80s. So you could tell there's a lot of different genres happening. It's like based in the UK, but it's like an American style high school. And they're trying, and I just started the second season, and I could tell that they took notes from the first one. They've introduced like two fat characters, and by fat I mean like Hollywood fat, like they're normal right. size. They're just like not like a model, you know.
And, right.
But the show does like there is a mixture of like there's some people that aren't fully, you know, able-bodied, and there's people of all races in the show, which is very interesting. But like you said, the first season was so good. I kind of wish I stopped watching it after the first season, because some of these shows, like, I'm not looking forward to the second season of Euphoria, because I thought Euphoria was such a beautiful, like, the whole first season was just, I thought it was a perfect, like, work of art. But you know, they got to make money. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Ese es el pedo.
All right, but I'm definitely going to check out that orgy scene. Thank you so much, Adriana. Okay, next question. Go ahead, Babs.
This is from Sadie. Title of the essay, wow. The email is high school. Fabio Babelito, hi, my name is Sadie and I'm a big fan of your show. I'm a sophomore in high school and listening to your show while walking home from the bus stop and cooking in the kitchen is an essential part of my day. I recently moved to a very primarily white high school. It's a lot different because every activity and every extracurricular is designed around white kids and their privilege. Hijo de la chingada. Being a queer Chicana from a significantly poor family than most people at the high school, it's hard to keep up with everyone else. I feel like I'm always one step behind and I can't catch up. Like everything is designed against me. There's a few other people of color at the school. One of them is my good friend and she says she feels the same way. The entire school is centered around privilege. They assume you have a lot of money to spare. They assume you have a car or a parent available to drive you. They assume you have a lot of extra time when in reality, I have to take care of my siblings and work a job to help my family. And that privilege stems from their whiteness. I don't know. I am at loss and it feels like there's nothing I can do. Any advice? Love you guys. Thank you, Sadie. Sadie, my love. Fuck everybody. Like, again, be yourself. Oh, this makes me mad. Not because of you, girl. Like, it just makes me mad. What do you think, Fabi? I don't know what to say right now.
Yeah, I mean, I went to a school that was, you know, diverse, in quotes. There was a lot of, like, white Mormons, and they kind of, I mean, it was kind of split. It was, like, the Latinos and black people and then the Mormons. And so I was in the fine arts, so like it was mostly like Mormon kids. And so I felt that because a lot of these families had a lot of money. And off topic, but on topic, these Mormons were prepared for the corona, let me tell you. Do you know that it's like, it's part of their like practice. to like stock food up for doomsday, basically. So every Mormon family that I knew, they had like a full garage fully stocked with toilet paper, with frozen food, with this, with that. So they're like kicking back like, we told y'all.
Shout out to the Mormons and shout out to my suegra. She has a 7-Eleven, a dollar store, and a McDonald's in her garage. I can't wait to spend the rest of this fucking shopping. Season there.
You're going shopping. Let me tell you, girl. These Mormons are just like kicked back. They are enjoying the fruits of their labors. Thank Jesus and the Latter-day Saints. Okay, here we go. Back to your thing. So you're in high school. Girl, I cannot believe you're listening to us and you're in high school. Yes. That's crazy. If I would have heard some fucking fags talking about shit when I was in high school, I'd have been turned that shit off. But I appreciate that you feel like you're represented through different podcasts. And this is the thing. High school is really hard because you really want to fit in and you just want to get through it. So I understand this idea of just like keeping your head down and just being like, bitch, I got a couple more years left and that's it, you know? But I actually in high school made a conscious decision to actually my junior year. So you're probably in your junior year now because you wrote this letter a while ago and said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to just be myself. I'm going to be friendly with everybody. Probably mine was to a point where I like went too far. I was like being nice to people I shouldn't have been nice to. But I also remember expressing what was so white and what I couldn't handle when it came to my Mormon friends. And so they right. used to get mad at me a lot for being like, fuck you. Like, I'm not going to do that. It's just like, it was also during the whole Jackass time where like all these white kids were like, setting shit on fire.
Empowered.
And like,
yeah.
And like, I'm like, I'm not doing that. Like, I don't know how y'all were raised, but that's going to hurt somebody. And that's not in my ministry. Right. So, thing that I remember is just telling one of my teachers one time, because everybody was like, it was like yearbook time, you know, and like everybody was getting their yearbooks, and I actually helped work on the yearbook, which is so fucking fucked up because fucking fucked up. Wow, my vocabulary is just so
eleganza
opulence. And so I couldn't afford to buy the yearbook because it was too expensive. It was like $70, and like that's a lot of money for my family. Like, we couldn't just like, my mom's like, why the fuck do you need a yearbook, just remember everybody. And I'm like, okay. And so I just let my friends know. I'm like, I don't have a yearbook. That shit's expensive, bro. Like, I don't know what kind of budgets your family has, but like, that's a lot of money. And I would just let them know. And I really had no shame around that part of my life, just to be like, y'all are privileged. Y'all are rich. Like, I'm not, you know? And then they would just kind of laugh it off. And maybe they knew, like, if we go out to eat, like, we can't go to, you know, fancy for high schools. Like, we can't go to the Olive Garden. Let's go to In-N-Out, you know, because Justin's coming, you know? Because I would be like, yeah, I can't go with you guys. Like, that's crazy. I can't afford that. I don't know. It's hard. High school sucks, and it's case by case. Being one of the only Chicana students in your school, again, if you go to the administration, what are they going to do? Nothing, because it's all... Like, sure, they'll listen to you, but then they're going to make you do all the work. They're going to be like, well, what do you want? And then that's not fair to you either, because I know how the fucking school system works.
Right. Híjola, I think it's so beautiful that you recognize these things this early, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's amazing. And that already puts you apart from everybody else, and not because of money, because you're, you know, like, you're getting woke. And the thing about high school is that it's not a reflection of the rest of these people's lives, including yours. And you'll be surprised when you look back 10, 15 years. Ay, está viejito. When you look back and you're like, oh my God, the ideals and the things that you're supposed to fulfill while in high school social circles, while they are a reflection of how this fucking society works, they're also not. And you'll be surprised where some of these people are going to end up. So I wouldn't even worry about nobody but yourself. You're working hard. I commend you because you have to take public transportation and take care of your family and work. And it's a lot. It's a lot. Pero el, how do you say, when just keep an eye on the price, because beautiful shit is coming for you. Things are going to pay off. Completely independent from these fucking morons. If you feel a sense of responsibility where you have to highlight everybody's whiteness, that's a different thing. But I will tell you to concentrate on you, your family, and you're doing amazing things. So first of all, congratulations. And second of all, fuck those people. I know it's a lot of pressure because you have to deal with it every single day. I completely understand. But you're so smart as to try to find support systems outside of the school, like by listening to the podcast, by listening to other things, by watching this, by doing that. I'm sure you're doing some amazing readings as well. So you're doing amazing. You're doing great. And yeah, like fuck those people. Like when I started high school, it was my first year in the States. I was in El Paso. And the way that race, class, and gender functions in Mexico, in Juarez, it's so different from El Paso, and it's just one fucking line that is dividing. So to me, it was shocking to go to lunch, y los mexicanos estaban abajo de las escaleras, y los negros estaban por allá, y los güeros estaban por allá, y los gays estaban por allá. Like, I couldn't understand, and I was like, fuck, I don't fit in any of these groups. Luckily, I've been privileged and my family has worked so hard, including my grandfather, that we can cross the border back and forth. So, me amarraba los huevos. Here we go again.
Ugh.
And I will wait till the weekend. And that's where I will have my friends in Juarez. Sometimes, a veces me la sorreaba. Like, I will ditch school. But I'm not, don't ditch school, girl. But I'm saying, desde el jueves me iba a Juarez
girl,
todo
el
fin de semana. Me lo sorriaba, and I will take the bus to Juarez on Thursday, and from Thursday to Sunday I was with my friends in Juarez. But again, I had that privilege, and I don't know if you do or not to have your group of friends, but family is important, and those support systems outside of school are important, because again, yes, high school is a reflection of this motherfucking world, but at the same time, it means nothing, and you're doing beautiful. And thank you so much for listening, and thank you for your email. We love you.
Okay, sin nombre. Her question is, oh, well, let's see. Hello, Favi Fav and Babelito. I have a question I'm working through, and I would love to hear your thoughts about it. I'm opening up a space in the next year that I want to be Latinx-centered. I want for this to be a place where my fellow Latinx feel a sense of belonging from the moment they walk in. But as I start visualizing what I want to create, I am struggling with how to do this without resorting to the same old tropes. My question is, what makes a place Latinx? How can you avoid performing Latinidad, even if it's your own community or for our own community? I have been a longtime listener back when you used to chew into the microphone, and I have always found your discussions about culture to be thought-provoking. Thank you, sin nombre. Okay, sin.
Please refer to a first question. Thank you very much. Next.
Yeah. My question is, how do I make a place Latinx? Ooh, gross. I don't know. just put a fucking Latinx person in it, and it's a Latinx space.
Pon un póster de Selena y boom, se llegan
yeah,
todos en chinga.
Yeah, bitty, done. Okay? That's it. I don't know. Jesus. First, do you want to clean it with Pinesol so that it has that lemon fresh scent, and then pass some bleach over it? Well, honestly, I think I'm going to ignore that this question is boo-boo, and I'm going to really try to answer it. You know, culturally, the way that our houses as a Latinx family are set up are very different. Think about that. You know, we talk about, I remember for the episode of the ABCs of Latinidad, we talked about how a lot of families have like sala de entrada, you know,
sala
like
de
how
entrada.
The
right.
Generation. Yeah, so if you really think about how Latinx people's homes are decorated, it's not really how they're portrayed in movies. You know what I mean? And so just think about that. But that has nothing to do with creating a safe space for Latinx people. You know what? You know what you need to focus on is not physically what the space looks like, but where it is. Is there parking? What are the hours that your space is going to be open? Because we all got to work, girl. So, like, thinking about those structures within your space or place that you're making instead of what does it look like? Because what it looks like can evolve based on who goes there and what they feel is visually safe.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. And this goes back to the first question. And this is so interesting to me that we have the complete opposite question. How can you avoid performing Latinidad when somebody was asking, how can I perform my Latinidad? It goes to show you that there's, because of the perils with authenticity and the way that it's portrayed in media, is creating a whole entire generation of people that are fucking confused. And I don't blame them, you know, because like, what's supposed to be Latino, what not supposed to be Latino? Oh, everybody likes conchas. I'm gonna like conchas. Wait, that's too stereotypical. Like, it becomes fucking exhausting. That's why you probably said what you said in the beginning of the podcast. Like, oh my God, are we the authorities on identity? We absolutely are not. And Latinidad looks in a million fucking ways. We're part of a colonial system. It doesn't look one single way. It looks like the rest of the fucking world, and it doesn't nothing like, looks nothing like the rest of the fucking world. I've been thinking, and this is a little bit of a tangent, but I've been thinking a lot about visibility because I have, again, I've been in a lot of airplanes due to job interviews in the past couple of weeks. So I've been watching just regular TV with commercials, which I haven't done in years. There's brown and black people everywhere in commercials now. And I know that like 10 years ago, we were struggling for this. We wanted to see ourselves represented. But I'm like, fuck, like visibility leads also to more forms of control. And now we're now at the forefront when it comes to the credit card and a forefront when it comes to consumption, you know? So like we struggle so much and now we're part of the system. We're visible in the system and all these fucking commercials and TV shows and everything. For what? You know, what is the fucking purpose? So now Latinidad, blackness looks completely different. It looks more aligned to the actual empire according to some of this commercials and according to some of the shows. So it is very, very, we have to be very careful. We talked about visibility in the show. We talked about pop culture, but none of that is, as Fabi mentioned, none of that should be the authority of how Latinidad and blackness and all of that and queerness supposed to look like. So in a way, you have to create your own community based on the needs of your community, because the Latinidad of a community in Kansas has different needs and looks different than Latinidad in a community in Boyle Heights in LA, you know? Like, it's so different. So how does it look like? Don't think about that. Just think about the needs of the community. What's needed in that space, and that's going to shape itself. And if that means filling a fucking entire space full of papel picado and conchas because that's what it's needed and that's what has to happen, then that's what it is. But don't think there's a right way to perform Latinidad, and don't think there's a right way to show this, you know, in these spaces.
You know, you should hang a picture, a black and white distressed picture painted on a canvas of the Eiffel Tower with glitter on it. I know a lot of Latinos I know a lot of Latinos that have that in their house.
Shout out to my sister Osiris, where I'm staying at.
Does Osiris have a picture of the Eiffel Tower in her house?
There's Eiffel Towers, definitely.
I knew it. See, Latinos think Eiffel Towers are fancy. Just put one of those on the entrance and they'll know. And then maybe have like a little Herbalife set up, you know, right there. It'll be perfect. And then, like Babelito said, a Selena poster.
Última cena.
Yes, and then the Last Supper in gold, okay? Let them know you're classy, okay? Go down to Santi Alley. No, in all seriousness, I just thought about our dear friend Jasmine Garcia, Jasmine. She did that Latinos Who Lunch promo video when she used to work for Me Too back in the day. It's unfortunate that they haven't changed their name still. Okay, I guess somebody doesn't know what's happening in the news in their company. So
they just don't care.
They don't give a fuck. They're still making money off of Latinos. That's great. If you watch the Latinos Who Lunch promo video, like, we didn't really use any, like, tropes within Latinidad. She just kind of put us in our natural spaces, like in our house, in our grandma's house, at the places we went to. And just because we were there, it became our space. You know what I mean? And I was just recently watching the podcast Brown Love that we advertised for a couple episodes ago. Mm-hmm. Full disclosure, they gave us money to do that. That doesn't have anything to do with this comment that I'm going to make. Jasmine actually, she did the set for that show. And if you look at that set, there's nothing like Latino that hits you over the head with it, but the aesthetic of the set is her. Because I have actually I went to her apartment. I visited her in LA once.
Right.
And she kind of just recreated her apartment. So the colors that she likes.
Con plantas.
She put a lot of plants everywhere, and it just looked gorgeous. And it was Latino as fuck, because Jasmine is Latina as fuck. So that's just how it happened. So what do you like? What makes you feel good?
Right.
Hang that up. If that's going to be a space that you're always in, hey, make it nice for you. Right? Look at all of Jasmine's music videos. Like, they're really cool. Most of them are for Latino artists, but it's not like Frida Kahlo posters in the background.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And remember when they were saying when they were putting together the video, they're like, we want to have like these effects like Jodorowsky that we're thinking about. And when you think of Latinidad, that's the last person you think. He's fucking Argentinian working in Mexico in the 1960s during like everything that's happening on 68. But like to a lot of people, the way that Jodorowsky was articulating, you know, culture, it's seminal. Like, it's part of Mexico in the 1960s, but, you know, you're not going to see floating fucking conchas, you know? So it's going to be different from everybody. And that's the cool thing, right, about Jasmine, that her references are from a lot of sources, and it's not just the same old fucking tropes. So again, true, Fabi, that's good. Like, how does it look to you? How does it feel to you? You know, what is it to you, Latinidad? And that will help you.
Yeah, let's see. If I were to design something Latino now, like to be my quintessential Latino space, like based on the decorations within like the homes of the people that I love, there will be definitely a sala de entrada with Rococo furniture that nobody can sit on. That's just for decoration. And then you would walk into the next space, and that would be like the actual space that you can hang out in. And that would have, like we mentioned before, a picture of the Eiffel Tower, like half painting, half photo with glitter on it. Then there would be
a 3D Last Supper. You have
a 3D Last Supper, gold, mm-hmm. preferably. a couch and a love seat. With like muted colors, and maybe a pillows with a pop of accent, maybe some patterns on them. Okay, right. Then only fake plants allowed unless they're like in the kitchen. Okay, so mm-hmm. fake plants everywhere except for the kitchen or by a window. And then I would go to Ross. I would go to Marshall's. And I would go to TJ Maxx, you know, that company that owns, I think one company owns all three of those businesses. And I would go and I would find mirrors, preferably like mirrors that are like connected with metal that are like different shapes, you know, maybe
engraved.
Something that says, yeah, maybe something that says like family first or God first, you know, one of those like in a squiggly font, you know, made you know, painted on a canvas. Hang that up, hang some mirrors up, put all the quinceañera pictures up.
I was gonna say wedding portraits everywhere.
Wedding portraits, quinceañeras, portraits, please. have like a old school, like 1950s black and white portrait next to like a glamour shots 80s portrait, and then like a modern day like airbrush portrait. Like you want all those in the same, and you want to hang everything about 2 feet too high. So whatever your eye level is, hang it 2 feet higher than that. Make it uncomfortable to look at the thing on the wall. Don't hang anything at eye level. Hang it too high and make sure that at least two or three of the paintings are crooked.
The closer to the ceiling, the closer to God, baby. Also, you need a cabinet of curiosities con todas las copas de brindis de todas las quinceañeras y todas las fucking weddings. Las invitaciones all stacked up on the side. Si tienes el ramo que lo cachaste, fucking put it in that cabinet.
Yes.
And you will, that's it. You have your Latino space.
Yeah, and just put up the almanaque, put up the calendar from the local panadería or Yantería. From your local taquería. Put it up there. Okay.
Con una imagen de los volcanes de México.
Please.
Shout out to
something
Mariela,
like
my
that.
Student.
Yeah, un santo aquí, un santo allá. And yeah.
That sounded like a song.
I think that's good. And make sure, and then whatever rug is on sale, you know, just put it on there. Pero, you know, siempre se cambia la moda, so, you know, we'll get a different color next year.
Okay.
I think it's your turn.
Walls, bright colors. I think we just have time for one more.
Yeah.
Okay, so Luis, this is from Luis. Latino traditions and Selena. Here we go again. People, first, I love the episode where you talked about Thanksgiving and how you celebrate with your Latino families, especially since Thanksgiving may be a white American tradition Latinos adopted, you could say. Not maybe, it is. This led me to wonder, are there Latino traditions or celebrations that you would like white Americans to adopt? Something like posadas or tamales for el Día de la Candelaria. I'm guessing you say none, they'd ruined it, and you might be right. Second, I was going through my Facebook feed and found this post and had to ask, what are your thoughts on the Netflix Selena Quintanilla series? ¿Están muy excited or muy nervous? Will J-Lo come back? Fabi, since you're a fan of Selena, are you afraid they'll ruin Selena? Abrazos, Luis.
Okay, first question. Yeah, you're right. No.
You're absolutely right. Yes.
We're not going to, white people are going to ruin, they have already ruined Day of the Dead. Like,
right.
We've seen, they've ruined Cinco de Mayo, they've ruined Day of the Dead. if they do posadas, it's over.
Ya se acabó.
It's over.
Nos tiramos over. A la chingada. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the answer to the first question. Second, I thought that there had been a Selena novela that came out already, like produced by Maria Celeste Arraraz, but it was like too bloody or something, so people were mad. But this is something different because I Googled it yesterday, and Netflix is coming out with a series this year. I think it's 8 episodes or 6 episodes about Selena's life, and the preview is like meta, like the actor pretending to like getting ready to get on the set of filming. So I don't understand, like, is it okay? Honestly, this is what I'm just gonna say. Judging by the actor and the movements, just like the physical acting that was happening in that preview, this is gonna be bad. Like, you know, a lot of people talk shit about J-Lo because she wasn't Mexican and she was Selena, but J-Lo is an actor. Like,
and
she
nailed it.
She wasn't acting like Selena. She embodied her, bitch. Like, when she was dancing, her little hand movements, whoever's playing Selena in this new version, she's trying so hard and you can tell. Like, the way that she's moving her hands in the scenes, like, oh, girl, why? It's weird because even in the preview, it's like, you know that art theory or the art term, like simulacra, like a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy?
Right.
Selena's life was then made into Selena the movie. Selena the movie has taken on a life of its own. And now this movie is like supposed to be like a series based on Selena's life, but it looks like visually, it looks like it's based on the movie of Selena and not the real Selena. It's like, girl, like, what is happening? It hurts my brain. And I'm going to watch it because I want to see what it's about, but I don't know if I'll be able to get through it. So that's what I think about it. Am I afraid that they'll ruin Selena? Girl, that's already happened. That I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. But listen to my episode of Radio Menea.
Nice.
Where I talk about Amor Prohibido, one of Selena's last albums. Yes, I love Selena. And I'm not saying that the family doesn't have a right to portray her story like they want. They already did it with the movie, you know, the Hollywood version of her life. As a fan, will it be better than the movie? Probably not. Are people going to be mad? Regardless, they're going to be mad.
Ay, que la dejen en paz ya, la pobre. No mames, que descanse, güey. Like, no more shows, no more movies, no more books. Like, everything has been said, and it's like the fucking Bible. It has been interpreted and misinterpreted and reinterpreted for fucking thousands of years. Are we going to do the same thing with Selena? Like, just, like, listen to the music. That's it, man. Like, ugh, I'm over it. I'm over this whole fucking thing, you know?
And I'd like to announce now that all my art from now on is going to be about Selena, so...
Para darte la madre.
Oh, thank you, Luis. By the way, this is Luis, our comadre. So thanks, Luis.
Hey.
We really appreciate you. Oh, man, we only got through a few of these, but I know that you have to go. You got to go get some toilet paper and hold your breath for another 10 seconds. So,
you know, we just to tell you a little bit of what's going on.
What's happening?
They push our school to from 1 week of spring break to two, and then we're moving online for the rest of the semesters. Commencement has been postponed. There was a symposium of five students of art history, and four of them were mine. So I was like so ready to show to the rest of the department that my students are badasses, and I promised them a little party afterwards. This was in May, so the symposium is not happening anymore. And a lot of things are changing, especially for Latin kids, man. They work so hard, and they get to graduate. Graduations, weddings, and funerals are not for us, are for our family. So it's hitting hard. I know it's out of everything that is going on, it's like the least important thing, but like we work hard to get to this point of graduation. So shout out to all of you that are gonna graduate this summer and also this spring. I know there are difficult times, but you have a hell of a story to tell your kids in the future. I defended a student online. By the way, I actually defended my first student. I went to their defense. They defended their thesis. So it was huge for me. But one of them was online. So it was weird coordinating all of that and just having the student that, like, not being able to share a drink, like even it's coffee, and just be like, cheers, thank you for, you know, like your success. Not being able to do that and having to do everything online, it's weird as fucking times, but it is what it is. And hold on tight to all my students that, again, are graduating. Muchísimas felicidades, and many, plenty of celebrations are coming. Again, I promise you that.
Yeah. This is kind of fucked up. I've been thinking about it a lot, but, you know, this is a safe space. There's a picture of the Last Supper in the room and Selena poster, so I can talk about it. the coronavirus, COVID-19, coronavirus, however you want to say it, it has slowed down everything. It has, for a lot of independent artists out there, I feel you. All of my gigs this month and next month have been canceled. I'm still waiting on one gig for April. I am in a very blessed, fortunate place because, like I said before, I have been killing myself the last 2 years, that financially I'm okay. And this has actually made me realize like how important it is to take care of myself and to slow down.
Right.
The fact that I am like... The reason why I say I'm self-quarantined, and I really am, I was texting with you yesterday, Babalito, like not joking at all, like, no, we can't be in the same room because I don't want to get my grandma sick. Like, I don't want to get my older relative sick. And
right.
I've been in many airports This very last week. Oh my God! Shout out to New Mexico State University. Everybody there. I did studio visits when all this coronavirus news broke, and so we were all really scared. But, New Mexico State University in Las Cruces is awesome. Thank you to all the students and all the grad students that I visited there. That was really cool. Yeah, and I got to go to UTEP and hang out in El Paso. Oh my God. I went to this bar, Babelito, that I loved. And I was like, oh my God, this reminds me of that bar we went to in Juarez with all the porn. What was that bar? Do you remember?
El Trece se llama.
Oh, I love that place. So I went to this bar called, I think it's called The Tap in downtown El Paso. Uh-huh. Do you know about that bar?
Uh-uh.
Oh my God, it was so good. I thought
you were going to say El Dedo. It's a different, yeah.
No, it was this bar in downtown El Paso that I loved. I just like walked in there and it was like a fucking movie. Like Juan Gabriel was playing and the bartender was like cussing this like old Mexican grandma out. And she's like, oh my God. She's like, aquí no me das res. It was good. I'm not even going to get into it. I loved it. They had great nachos.
That's so awesome. Okay. Yeah, bars are a thing. It's so awesome. Oh,
they were so great. Okay, anyway, you know, having to like stay in one place has made me realize like how important it is to take care of yourself, and just letting me reflect on things and showing me that I was doing way too much. And so I'm actually kind of relieved that I get to breathe and be by myself in my home town for this long. So I'm just trying to be positive about this because it's very scary, especially here in Vegas when pretty much 95% of my family works in casinos, and they actually an hour ago they're officially closed to the public.
So crazy. So crazy.
And that was an announcement the mayor made yesterday. This, of course, is going to come out a couple days after, so the timeline's a little off because we're recording from the distant future. But anyway, it's a time for people to, I think, really slow down, breathe, think about their future, think about how they can help people if they're in a privileged place. Just take things seriously. Stop spreading Facebook news and WhatsApp news, people. Go on the CDC's website. Talk to doctors. Oh my God. I just saw this Fox News thing where they like show a news anchor last week being like, this is all a hoax. It's the Democrats trying to ruin Donald Trump. And then this week, the same anchor saying, please stay inside. Don't go outside. You know what I mean? It's like,
pendejos.
Come on. Like, you can't even trust the fucking news nowadays, you know? So,
right.
Just be careful, everyone. Keep your spirits high. This is a time to catch up on reading. This is a time to call relatives that you love and check on them. Make sure your grandma is not going outside and touching people. Oh, my gosh. My grandma's like, this is in the Bible. Jesus said this was going to happen. I'm like, great. Don't play around. This is an actual serious thing. There's still people telling me that I'm overreacting, and they're still going out to bars and shit, which is like, okay, great. Kill yourselves. But like, I'm going to protect my grandma and my family, you know?
Right. And regardless of what it is, regardless of how big or small, whatever, it's about precautions. That's it. That's it. Más vale prevenir que lamentar. And that's the end of the story. Because uno nunca sabe, güey. Este pinche mundo está cambiando todos los días. And what's crazy about everything for me is like, fuck. Like, this might be mild compared to the kind of shit we're going to have to deal with fucking the change of the climate. And like, things are ending, you know, like things are changing drastically all the time. So this is better be a fucking wake up call to everybody that
is
that
this we gotta be prepared. Or is it the end? It's
Pero
the beginning.
As bad as it is, I know some people are going through it. Some people don't have the choice and they still have to work. And shout out to everybody that are working in grocery stores. Shout out to my sister that's working in a pharmacy. She texted me the other day. She goes, she says, the streets are dead, but the WAG, Walgreens, she's like, the WAG is on fire. So a lot of people are still having to, like, do their thing and, you know, stay strong. And I do not have recommendations, but I actually had a little shout out from also with dealing with like thinking about emails. We had an email that was sent to us by Milton from this is from Boston College School of Social Work, and she and this person asked us to please help support this really good cause. We get a lot of emails of different causes, and we don't have the time or the platform to just spend the time that we would like to just shout out and ask for the support to all of these places. But this was, and Favi mentioned it to me, and I agree, this is a special one. This is about a GoFundMe for Casa Respetrans. And Casa Respetrans, it is a space that is open to the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, transvestite, transsexual, and intersex community with specific attention to trans women. This is located in Ciudad Juarez, and it was established in 2012. The center opened specifically for persons living with HIV, and they also opened their space to trans women who every day are surviving by engaging in sex works. And recently, I'm going to say 2017, they opened the space to be a safe haven for more than the 400 migrant trans women from various countries, including Ecuador, Peru, Cuba, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador. And also, they are actually giving attention to these trans women from Russia that are trying to cross the border and they get stuck in the border in Juarez. So go to their GoFundMe page. All you have to do is go Google support. That's the name, support Casa Respetrans, R-E-S-P-E. T-T-T-R-A-N-S. Support Casa Respetrans. We'll put the link in our website. And please support them because, we're all dealing with things. We all have our own struggles. And this is a special cause. And we are very, very honored to be able to hopefully get some money flowing to this important, important cause. So that's my recommendation for today.
And that's three T's, actually.
True.
Okay. Yeah, and it's self-quarantine time, and I know a lot of people are turning to podcasts. You can go on our website, Latinos Who Lunch, and you can go on our episodes page and go all the way back to our tragic, tragic first episodes where we didn't know what we were doing. And so, yeah, like one of the listeners said in the letter, like, I used to listen to you when you chewed into the mics. We literally would eat on the mics in the beginning, eat our lunch. So if you want to go back in the archive and listen to those, go for it, y'all. If you go on our website, you know, our episode guides, our show notes, those are resources if you guys want to look into different organizations. We have updated the website. So as I listen to podcasts, I am updating my Favi Fav Recommends podcast list on there. And Babelito has his essential reading list on there. So if you guys are in need of some books, I've already have a couple of books that I've checked out on my Libby app. So I'm going to read those during this time. And I'm really excited about that. You know what I'm reading, Babs? I'm reading this book about crypto Judaism. I'm really excited about it.
That's, you know, fascinating.
Isn't it?
It is.
Tell me what.
No, there was a whole exhibition around crypto Jews in New Mexico.
In Santa Fe.
Yes. And they
had a symposium. I saw it at the History Museum there. Yes. That was years ago.
Yeah, yeah, and they had a symposium, and I talked about the Inquisition and the weird, like, relationship between the Inquisition and Mexico and Native Americans, because the Inquisition couldn't kill Native Americans.
Yeah.
But it's super, super fascinating. But they had a whole exhibition, and there's a catalog. I mean, if we can find it, we'll put it on the website. But that shit is insane.
Yeah,
they talked about this lady that traveled from Spain and was in Mexico City, and then she ended up in New Mexico, and talks about some of the costumbres that they do and how she always traveled with her copa de chocolate. And I, like, some of this shit and some of this history is fascinating.
Yeah. I'm reading Juggling Identities, Identity and Authenticity Among the Crypto Jews, which is very interesting.
That sounds amazing.
I know. Page Turner. And next on the queue, just so everybody knows, I'm reading, I think it's called Not Your Perfect Mexican Daughter or something. I don't know. Google it, locas. But I'm excited to let you know my review on this book. Okay. Again, go on our website. There's plenty of resources there. Oh, and just a quick note about my podcast list. Okay, I know that when we first started this podcast, I was like, everybody start a podcast. Let's do it. And people actually listened. Everybody has a fucking podcast.
Way.
I'm so proud of it. Honestly, there's so many that I can't even catch up. I can't even listen to all my friends who have podcasts because there's so many episodes in my queue. And I'm also taking the time to listen to those. But I will say that there is a lot of resources to make your podcast sound okay. I'm not saying it has to sound amazing like NPR level, but just make sure that your podcast is audible. And I know, Pablito, you give me a lot of shit sometimes for being too nitpicky about stuff when it comes to the podcast, but it's like, girl, if the audio isn't balanced and it's like the left ear is louder than the right ear, guess what? I'm not listening to your podcast. Like, there's too many people working really hard to make sure their podcast sounds good for me to listen to a podcast that's going to give me fuck up my equilibrium and give me what is it called? Because it's going to give me fucking vertigo. Okay, so and I'm talking to some of my dear friends right now, and I've actually will reach out to podcasters that I know, like, hey, you know, you can move that stereo file to mono, and it's like easier to listen to. And I know this is tough because I come from an art school background, so criticism to me, I welcome it. Oh my God, when my friends call me up, and for example, the listener that was like, I can hear the fire alarm in the background, I was like, oh my God, thank you, because I didn't know that. Like, right. That helps me make a better product, make a better podcast, you know? So I appreciate that. But some of you fools out there, what are y'all recording on? Are you recording in a tin can with a string that's connected to a microphone? I'm sorry, Mimis. I'm not gonna listen to you. So my rule now is I will give everybody a chance. I will play a podcast that I don't know for 15 minutes, and if it sounds good and I'm into it, sometimes it sounds bad and the conversation is the bomb, so I'll keep going. I'm slowly putting those onto my list. So the list is not complete. It'll keep growing, and maybe some of the shit will be deleted too, depending on the kind of content that comes out. So just know that my podcast pick reflects like what I'm actually listening to right now and what I recommend based on that. And I'm expanding it beyond Latinx podcasts because I feel like there's a lot of POC voices out there that are important and are saying the same things or expounding on the things that we're talking about or that I'm learning from. Okay, that's
awesome.
It.
Awesome. Perfect.
All right, as always, you could visit us at latinoswholunch.com. As I mentioned, our podcast list and reading lists are on there. You can also donate at latinoswholunch.com/donate via PayPal or become a Patreon member. If you can't support us that way, you can always leave us a review, 5 stars.
5 stars only.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And visibility
leads to representation, and representation matters, people.
Today's episode was produced by Justin Favela and Emmanuel Ortega with production assistance from Maite Sosa. The music you're listening to now is by Yo Frangel and Fraga. I'm Fabi Fav.
And I'm Babelito.
Bye.
Ciao, 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 ciao. No hay que hablar con nadie, Fraga produciendo. Cuídate.